104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with a big story of the day.
I'm trying to figure, Tommy, what the breaking news here is with the Chris Harris situation. I mean, I know Zach's doing some work and trying to lay out that it's this year only, but didn't we kind of, I don't know, it feels like we already knew that. Am I missing something here?
No, we've been speculating that for weeks, that it makes sense that they just give him more money this year and then that's it. And they seemed, I was listening to their show on the drive-in, and they seemed shocked that it's only for this year.
Yeah.
How could they do that? What does this mean?
You know who I think is shocked by it, actually? Chris Harris.
No, he's not.
I don't know.
Why would he be shocked?
He shouldn't be.
What, you mean Freddie the Freeloader hasn't kept him in the loop the whole time?
It feels like maybe it's just dawning on Chris that this is where it's going. Like, I don't know. It feels like that to me.
Zach did point out, or he'd heard, that the latest news coming out is that a long-term contract was never talked about. It was never negotiated or anything. It was all about 1 year. So how could this be a surprise to Chris Harris?
I don't. Maybe he just thought.
If Zach knows, Chris Harris knows.
Right. But I never heard anything to the contrary, ever. No. Like, there was not 1 second during this whole process, and I've done my own digging around, by the way, not for 1 second did I ever hear there was some long-term. I know that's what Chris would want. I mean, I think that's what the point of the whole, you know, not showing up is. I understand what you want.
No. The whole point of not showing up was once they signed Kareem Jackson and he was no longer the highest paid corner on his own team, and then you see some of the deals around the league, the whole point of not showing up was to right the wrong of the last year of his contract. It wasn't to get more years. I mean, I'm sure he would love that, but that was never the intent of staying away from Dove Valley.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought, but.
Oh, wow. Is that your phone again?
I'm sorry.
Wow. About that. Different state, same thing.
It's one of my little birdies chiming in.
Twitter.
Yeah.
But these are the same clowns, these two guys before us that are ripping on 10-6 and they're surprised by it. So it doesn't surprise me that they're surprised that it's only going to be just the 2019 season.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole thing was just about this year.
Right.
And it always has been. I don't know how that's, you know, big breaking news, but I don't know. Of course, Chris would love, who wouldn't love, we're going to give you a 3-year deal and $30 million guaranteed on a $45 million contract. Yeah, all right. Okay, cool. You know, that'd be great. But,
look, if you could get yourself, for a contract you signed, the last year of it, if you could get more money out of that contract and be a free agent the next year,
yeah,
that's not a bad deal. You're betting on yourself if you're Chris Harris.
Yeah. I think getting more money on a contract you've already signed is a pretty good deal, period.
With no years added, though. It's win-win for both sides here.
Yeah, I don't know if first of all, it hasn't gotten done, but I know there's been active conversations into it. And I know our own James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com was actually accusing John Elway of going soft if he just offered Chris Harris more money. I mean, John Elway is well within his rights to just call Chris Harris on whatever bluff he wants and say, oh, okay, you're really not going to show up for $7.8 million? Really?
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell did it 12 months ago.
All right. Well,
for more money.
Good luck. We got Justin Simmons playing corner now.
Uh-huh. Well, then we're talking 8-8. Then we're burning it to the ground. So
there we go.
All of a sudden, John got soft after probably about, 5:30 last night?
Is that our burn it to the ground By the way, I got to laugh at all the reaction to this. You, my friend, are by far the most optimistic guy on this radio station in terms of what the season's going to be for the Broncos.
It amazes me from Nick Ferguson and Stoke and Stink. We're talking probably 40 years experience in the NFL between the three of those guys.
Yeah.
And they cannot look at the roster and the coaching staff and say, this team's going to be better than last year. It just, Vance Joseph alone cost two games. If nobody was on the sideline, they go 8-8 last year. And there's been massive upgrades to the roster.
Yeah, when you're saying 8-8-8, burn it to the ground, you're saying that because you don't think they're going to go 8-8.
No, it's a complete failure at 8-8.
Right.
I told you yesterday, expectations from Mr. Bolin and his, by proxy, Joe Ellis, and from his history, John Elway, is win. And 8-8 isn't winning. We're not throwing a parade for 8-8.
So now this team,
you don't make a play for Joe Flacco to go 8-8. Vic Fangio's not here for 8-8 at 60 years old, his first job. No, not 8-8.
Now you're feeling part of my pain. When you say something that makes logical sense, there's reasoning behind it, behind your opinion, and almost everybody misconstrues everything you say. And I know it's been happening. We got proof. Let's just start with the morning show guys. Nobody likes to take things out of context more than these fellas.
Oh, this isn't just me Friday. Is it just me or am I off the hook? I am now off the hook.
You are off
I'm
the
off
hook.
The hook. I mean, because I have been targeted, I think, unfairly.
You have been characterized as the villain.
Yes.
But you're really now just the villain sidekick. Like every villain, you know, has a little sidekick.
Hey. Anything I've ever said about John Elway pales in comparison to what Tom Nalen laid down yesterday.
Tom Nalen is Gaston, and you are LeFou.
LeFou?
Is that it?
That's it. I'm the villain?
I don't even get it.
10-6, and I'm in the. I have the Broncos in the playoffs, and I'm the villain.
How is that even possible? That's classic Evans, though, by the way.
Deflecting?
Yeah. Yeah, embellishing, deflecting.
How can I say if they go 8-8, Elway should be fired, and Evans has been critical of John Elway, I'm sure. How is that not the same thing?
Well, you know what's funny is that you think they're going to make the playoffs and go 10-6. You're the most optimistic person on the station.
At worst, 10-6.
Right. So you're saying basically if you underperform what I think you should do, then there should be wholesale change. So by logic.
I didn't say Vic Fangio, though.
Okay. But by logic, say you think they're going to go 8-8, right? Say you think they're going to go 8-8 if you're person X,
right?
Which I guess is me.
Yeah.
And they go 6-10. Well, then that's what you've got to compare it to. Like, it's not like, fire everybody, fire Elway. It's like, well, what happens if they really go well under what you expect them to do? And frankly, if I do see them going 8-8. You got them 10-6. So if they do go 6-10, to me, that would be a disaster. But to you, 8-8 would be a disaster. It's all relative to where you think they're going to go in the first place.
Right.
So this crazy overreaction by people on our own station is kind of insane. Nick Ferguson, why don't you take a whack at it?
Tom Nalen was 375 degrees of fish grease hot.
Oh, you've been waiting to bring that back.
Yes, he was fish grease hot.
So we're doing that whole thing again.
Yes, just to say that 8-8, burn it down, fire everyone, just get rid of everyone. But you can't do that, Tom. Who's going to run the team? Who's next in waiting? I don't know.
They would hire somebody.
You and D-Mac? I would love to see that.
I would not. I pay for season tickets. I cannot see Nalen and D-Mac running
just
that team.
To see what would happen.
You're a villain.
Why am I a villain?
You're a villain.
I didn't say it.
You said to see what happens. Okay, so 8-8. John Elway gets fired. No.
No, it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. They'd be improved by two games.
Exactly.
Dude, you and I would kill it if we were running the team.
What?
First
of all, 375 degrees. I don't get that reference.
I don't understand.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Hot, what do you call me? Hot grease? Burning grease?
Is he setting the oven to 375 degrees?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
We're boiling grease.
We're boiling grease?
To cook fish.
Okay. Maybe that's a Miami thing, maybe. I don't know.
I understand that about my take. I mean, it's kind of like disagreeing with how Broncos run the team and being called, I don't know, a communist or something like that. Just doesn't make sense. By smart people, supposed smart people saying it.
That's
so,
a callback. That's a big-time callback.
Mm-hmm.
So any other response to Nick and John?
From me?
Yeah.
First of all, if they listen to the show, and apparently they don't, they just get little snippets.
Yeah.
Like the kids today. But I also said Vic Fangio was staying here and we're replacing the general manager. Has that never happened in the history of the NFL? Do we not change general managers like the New York Jets are doing right now?
It happens all the time.
It's not some earth-shattering thoughts of mine.
No, in fact, by the way, what I would encourage people to do is go back and look at the Washington Redskins after they won a Super Bowl, and then Charlie Casserly was their GM, and they were terrible for about 6 years. They're the only team besides the Broncos to win a Super Bowl and then 2 years later be absolutely awful. In fact, they even took a deeper dive down than the Broncos did. And what ended up happening 6 years later is Dan Snyder bought the team and he realized the coach and GM weren't on the same page and he blew out Charlie Casserly. And then the team went, I think they made the playoffs that year.
Here's the reason why I'm saying get rid of the general manager, because since 2012, the general manager hasn't really found adequate quarterback replacement for Peyton Manning. And that way, I'll throw Joe Flacco in there because at 8-8, like I said yesterday, at 8-8, Joe Flacco has not worked with the defense, a top five defense. Would you agree if the team, if we have a top five defense in the league, Joe Flacco, and we go 8-8, Joe Flacco had to have failed, and therefore there's another failure at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but then again, of course, I'm agreeing with you because I think the biggest mistakes were made in, you know, the past couple of years. So I'm trying to roll with the tide and just go with the new.
But here,
and not live in the past and cliche. But yeah, ultimately, it'd be following in line with what I said a couple of years ago.
But at the end of the day, I think John Elway has it correct with Joe Flacco. I think it's going to be a good fit. Thus,
that's what you keep saying.
10 and 6 are better.
No, but nobody in all these I love this too, by the way, because everybody is saying what they think you're saying. They think you're saying they're going to go 8-8, blow everything up. That's not what you're saying. You're saying, I think they're going to go 10-6, and I'd be devastated if they went 8-8. Like if you say, I think they're going to go 7-9, and then they go 4-12, well, that's pretty devastating. But if you think they're going to go 7-9, they go 7-9. Well, you were right, I guess. You must be happy.
To improve by 4 games in the NFL with a better head coach and a better roster isn't that big of an improvement. It's not that big. In the NFL, everybody has the same amount of money, and you pretty much have similar talent. This isn't college football. Everybody's very similar.
By the way, there is a long list of first-time coaches with quarterbacks that have turned things around quickly. There are a lot of teams that have gone 5-11 and then go 11-5.
What was Cleveland 2 years ago?
What? 0-16?
Were they 0-16?
Yeah.
And then last year 7-8-1, and now they're the darlings to get in the playoffs and all of that.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a stretch in the NFL.
All right,
one league where you can turn it around quickly.
You're right. You're right about that. That's why if you don't make the playoffs, a 5-year stretch, like 5 years would be a freaking long time. Like you're not good. You don't have a good process. Things are equal enough where you can turn things around. So if you go 5 years without making the playoffs, you just don't have the right people running it, because there's all sorts of ways to turn things around frankly, from 5-11 to 11-5. You are right about that. And I'll tell you this, too. With the amount of changes the Broncos have actually made, I mean, they've made changes at every significant position that you can think of, aside from not doing a whole lot different in their personnel department. In fact, in their personnel department, they lost Gary Kubiak. They haven't made a lot of additions there. It's just still kind of John Elway and Matt Russell. So,
yeah, but Kubiak wasn't really in the personnel department to begin with. He was stepped away from coaching, but was still involved with coaching in 2017 and 18.
He was, well, I don't know. He was doing things. I mean, he was involved with the personnel department. I mean, I'm standing next to him up there in Laramie, Wyoming, looking at Josh Allen. He wasn't exactly hiding that year. You know, he was involved more than the year before. But, you know, I don't think they took his advice all the time, to be honest with you. I know he liked Quentin Nelson more than Bradley Chubb, by the way. That was his guy. All right, one more. Here's Stoke and Zach.
Whoa, wow. Tommy.
There's a lot there.
First of all, let's start at the beginning. I didn't say 8-8 would be a fantastic season. Never said that. Not once did I say it would be a fantastic season. I think 8-8 would be a situation where Elway and company over there at UC Health can kind of take a deep breath and say, all right, whew, we didn't have a losing season. This thing is moving in the right direction. And secretly kind of, you know, maybe giving some fist pumps like, okay, whew, we avoided that disaster, another 6-10 season. It would be a win for the Broncos. It shows me they're moving in the right direction. But to go 8-8 and say you're going to blow this thing up and burn it down, I mean, give me a break. No, that's not the case at all. John Elway ain't going to get fired if they go 2-14. Okay, that's just not happening.
Oh, all right? Man.
So
there's no scenario in which John Elway wouldn't be the general manager in 2020.
That's right.
Oh, my God, Stoke. Are you, if they go 2-14, yes. Hold on. If they go 2-14, John Elway will be fired.
Now, Stokely,
give me a break.
Stokely texted you, right?
Stokely? When?
When he said that 8-8 and they would, I thought he used the term celebration. They'd be celebrating, man, if they went 8-8.
I'm looking. I don't know.
Confetti or celebration? It was just like 2 days ago, man. You have one of those smartphones. You can figure that out.
I know. I'm looking at it right now.
What you read to me, yeah, and maybe you misconstrued it, but it was a fantastic year if we go 8-8. It's time for celebration. Not like, whew, we went 8-8, we didn't have a losing season. Like, relief.
He texted me, Tom was so wrong. Oh, you were so wrong about Drake. Sorry.
No, this is later. Was it?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, wow. Yeah, no, if the Broncos go 2-14, I mean, there are not a lot of scenarios where John Elway would be dismissed, right, so but if, 2-14
if,
is one
if,
of them.
If Stokely's in that train of thought that John Elway can never be fired, then by me saying 8-8, I can understand his reaction to me saying that someone should be held accountable at some point. When you have another failure at quarterback, because 8-8 is a failure at quarterback because our defense is too good. Who's the one picking the quarterback?
Hey, man, you got a high bar, and I appreciate that.
It's not a high bar when you look at the team.
Relatively, yes. Tommy, Elway already survived. I mean, that is true. If they were going to replace Elway, it would have happened when they cleaned house with Vance Joseph, and it didn't. And every time I bring this up, everybody says, oh, what about the championships and the Super Bowl? And I'm like, yeah, okay, fine, build a statue. That's cool. But
the text line said that Stokely mentioned something about a fist pump at 8-8.
Yeah,
Pump. Now, you fist pump when you're a congratulations type thing, a fist pump. Right? We've done a good job. Fist pump.
Yeah. Woo! Woo-hoo!
I just know what the standard here has been since 1994 on. The standard is winning. 8-8 is not winning. Even 9-7, if you don't get into the playoffs, really isn't winning. winning is getting into the playoffs and have the shot at winning a Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, you're not.
Am I missing something?
No, you're not. You're definitely not. And of course, you're being misinterpreted left and right. And you're not a villain whatsoever. I mean, give me a break. You're the most optimistic guy on the radio station. You're Captain Sunshine. If you're anything, you're a superhero, and it's Captain Sunshine. I mean, nobody has as high hopes for what has gone on. And you know what, Tommy, in all honesty, maybe it's good that you've just been a little time away because you're coming back to it with a fresh set of eyes where, you know, we've been churning on this stuff, all of us, you know, for the past couple of years. And perhaps our expectations have been lowered, to be quite honest with you, because it's been rough. It's been difficult to watch. Really hard. And Vance Joseph was a terrible hire.
Yeah, but and when you mentioned that was the time if they were going to make a change at general manager, well, John Elway was the one that realized a mistake. And I told you this. He deserves credit for admitting the mistake of Vance Joseph and moving on from that after 2 years.
Yeah,
which is a very short time to figure out if this guy is going to be the coach for the future.
It's fair enough because John Fox was a good hire. Gary Kubiak was a good hire. And Vance Joseph stunk. But it, like to just be fair here, we all love Tim Conley, right? We all love Tim Conley and Josh Kroenke. And we've been doing nothing but praise the Nuggets. Well, they hired Brian Shaw, who was a disaster. And then they quickly moved on.
No, and Moutier, and they made some other blunders. Sure.
It didn't go smooth. In fact, to even give credit to Joe Ellis, when you hire Josh McDaniels, who was instantly not, you know what? Forget that. He wasn't instantly a disaster. People forget.
Oh, they were
Josh,
6-0.
And then they pulled off one of the most amazing feats ever. They were the first NFL team ever to be 6-0 and miss the playoffs. But I mean, he did start 6-0, so it was not a disaster. Right away. What, you know, stunned everybody is when they actually drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. I mean, that just, you know, people were just like, what is going on here? And that did create a massive amount of confusion, unbelievable amounts of confusion. And so, again, but I've been beating this drum with the draft pick of Drew Lock, so I won't even go in there. But I think what you're saying is you're optimistic. You're certainly not a villain. You're Captain Sunshine. You're a superhero with incredible superpowers.
Yeah, but the reasoning behind it is simple, that if they're 8-8 or worse, John Elway has picked another bad quarterback, and this time through a trade for a proven quarterback that fits Scangarello's system.
I'll go with you there because I don't think Fangio is going to be a bad coach. I don't even know how he could be a bad coach, to be honest with you. With the degree of experience and what he's got going on, that doesn't seem right. But could the quarterback situation be poor? I mean, I guess. I suppose it could. And that's going to be tough to survive when you don't retain Brock, you draft Paxton Lynch, and it's a disaster. You put your hopes in Trevor Siemian. You bring back Brock Osweiler, it doesn't work. You get Joe Flacco, theoretically, it doesn't work. And I guess...
Don't forget Case Keenum in there.
Oh, sorry. Case Keenum was a disaster. And I suppose in this nightmare of nightmare scenarios, Drew Lock doesn't work. I mean, if you're really going to, if all of that is going to happen, then there is nobody else to point to but the general manager. That is true. But, I mean, we're going to have time to figure this out. I think. Listen, when we come back, the Drake stuff is awesome. Beer chugging. It's amazing. We will get a, we got the Orioles, the bad birds, or maybe good birds.
Juicy birds.
Juicy birds. Sorry. Pedro Gomez will join us. And I saw what you were doing in your downtime. That's interesting.
What?
Yeah, I saw you.
Where?
There's video out there.
What?
There's video of you.
In my
you
house? Got
What's, no?
You got one of those nest things in my house?
Oh, yeah. Scandalous.
Yeah, well, we'll get into all of it. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
It's The Drive with Tom Allen and D-Man.
Blame Kavanaugh. For the beady little eyes, clapping heads so long with eyes. Blame Kavanaugh. Blame Kavanaugh. We need to form a full assault.
You can't
blame Kavanaugh. Blame Kavanaugh. It seems that every
country anyway.
We have the best player, we have the best fans in the whole NBA, in the whole world. Look around, we created this. This didn't exist before we were here. Look around at the square, I promise you right now, we did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says, they can say it's disrespectful, they can say it's this and that. Everybody's within the rules, everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team, I promise you. I love Toronto, I love this team, and we're going to the NBA Finals. Let's go!
I wasn't really thinking of it like United States against Canada, Tom, but now I am.
How?
I don't know. This is like, it's like Team Canada. I mean, I kind of get it. They're the only team in Canada. So
the Leafs are out, so now they're just jumping behind the Raptors now?
I mean, they're the only NBA team in Canada, so they're kind of like, it's not just the Toronto Raptors. It's like,
where's the swell of support for the Blue Jays?
Well, it's a different sport, but I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm sure Drake will be there screaming at Angel Hernandez, which probably is justified. But
umps again, really?
Well, you know how I feel about umps.
I'd be with him on that, though.
So, I mean, I listen, I'm sitting at, you know, my son did a great job singing
the
anthem.
I saw that.
What'd you think?
Wow.
Impressed?
Nothing like you. I was so proud of him.
It's on my Twitter. I'm a very proud dad. He did a great job. And
I thought it was like an a cappella type situation where it was a group of college singers doing it. And your son was one of them, but he did it by himself.
Yep. Yep, it's on YouTube, too, if you want to see Connor McKee. He did. I mean, that was great last night, for sure. ASU-Stanford, great game, too. ASU came back in the bottom of the ninth and won on a walk-off, the whole thing. But he sang before ASU-Kansas in front of 14,000 people, which was, I mean, it was just mind-blowing. It's always amazing when your kids start doing things that you just can't even imagine. So, a very, very proud moment. But that being said, we're sitting there watching the game. You know, a great baseball game, Tommy. 3 hours and 40 minutes for a 9-inning game, 6-5. You know, great game, right? Baseball's got to figure itself out. I'm not even talking about the umpires, but baseball, and I'm a baseball guy, can be so brutally boring. Dude, I have never seen this before. Tracy Smith, the head coach for Arizona State, called a timeout with the bases loaded with his team. And he called everybody off the bases to the bench area to talk to everybody. And Stanford was just stood in the field with their positions. I had no idea you could do that in baseball. And you definitely should not be allowed to do that in baseball.
Put a clock on the game. Forget about 9 innings. Clock.
Boy, dude, if you want to tell me just 7 innings.
No inning, just a clock.
No. It's not the craziest idea. It's not the craziest of ideas. All right, that being said, now it appears, now Drake is actually kind of annoying me, I got to admit. I really don't care about the antics, but, I mean, if we're really forming this, like, it's all about Canada, I just thought it was about the Raptors and his team. Now it's like, you know, some sort of national pride.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not from Canada.
He's from Toronto.
Fine. If you want to frame something about your country against my country, I'm taking my country. So, I mean, I was kind of getting into it. I was like, oh, the Raptors are a cool team, and I didn't think they would do this well, and it's kind of fun. And now I'm like, well, let's go Milwaukee.
I've done a 180, though.
Whoa. What?
Well, not in regards.
What?
Not in regards to Drake. And the text line sort of went there a little bit. You know, mentioning that they want to see Golden State just shut Drake up. I want to see Toronto win this next game six in Toronto. And then I want I think they have the better record, so Golden State would travel to Toronto. I want to see Draymond Green because that dude will, I mean, his go-to move is crotch shot, but there's no doubt. I want to see it. I want to see the confrontation of Draymond Green and Drake.
Spartans!
On the side, probably on the court, because that's what Drake
now,
mostly
now,
is.
Wait, hold on. Now you're entertained by Drake. Now you like Drake.
Giannis is too nice. Wow. He's not even going to acknowledge him. And I just want to see Draymond Green do something.
Wow.
He's going to cup check him or something.
All right, so let me just talk really quickly about, and we got Pedro Gomez coming up here in a second, but. Did you see the response, more or less, by the Milwaukee people?
Well, I know the owner's daughter had the Pusha T T-shirt on.
Can you explain that to us?
I can a little bit. Pusha T is another rapper, and they've had a long ongoing beef between Pusha T and Drake. So
beef?
It's over shoes. There's a lot to it. It's been going on for close to a decade. So
wow, okay,
yeah, it's back and forth with their albums, and there's a lot involved in it. But it was just a subtle little troll by Mallory Edens, who's sitting next to Aaron Rodgers there for a bit while he's drinking the beer. That's how I knew it wasn't his girlfriend. Not only is he dating Danica Patrick, but there's never been in the history of man a girlfriend / wife cheering on the husband to chug a beer. That's never happened. So I instantly knew. I said, that's not his girlfriend. No way.
Did you like the beer chugging contest?
I thought it was, hey, see you representing with Buck Tucker.
How about that?
That was fantastic. That dude can drink, man. He just dumped it.
I mean, how Milwaukee, how Laverne and Shirley. Do we have the music? How unbelievable was it? Is this, and I guess this has been a thing, I guess.
Yeah, it has been. I think during this playoffs, I don't know if it's always happens, but Yelich got into it a little bit. It was fantastic.
This is Laverne and Shirley. Come on now. This is Milwaukee.
Dreams come true.
These two single women worked in a beer bottling plant in Milwaukee. That was their job, to check the beers.
I know you've had some old Milwaukee, right?
We won't try. Never heard the word impossible. There's no stopping us. Oh, man, my son is
such a
nice. You
got the lyrics right in front of you, don't you?
I don't. And go now. Go him and dream will zone now.
This is how I know your son is.
Not, we're going to do it our way, Tommy.
He is. Thankfully, he's got none of your talent.
All our way, making our dreams come. And there's Bakhtiari. I'm saying it wrong. Chugging beers. And Pete Davidson, Kristen Yelich, drinking beers.
Yeah, he does look like him.
He's his twin.
He's got a little more weight than Pete Davidson does.
He looks hollow in the face like a heroin addict, just like Pete Davidson. I mean, and I hope that's not the case, but I thought it was a good response from Milwaukee. They just stunk on. I mean, they didn't stink, but, you know. I love it. All of a sudden, I'm interested. I'm officially interested. This was a series that had zero interest in me, Tommy.
The fact that Toronto's come back from down 0-2 up 3-2 doesn't interest you other than Drake?
It's all beer
chugging and Drake has got you interested now.
Kind of. I mean, and the winning the games, of course. You know, it's a big deal. And Kawhi Leonard and his laughs. And Giannis, I just thought he was unstoppable. And they there you go. And Laverne and Shirley and Bakhtiari and drinking and the owner's daughter, you know, with the push of teeth. I mean, all of a sudden it's really interesting. I love it. But I'm going to root for Milwaukee here. You're really good. So you're, I see what
I
you're
going.
I just
want to see Draymond Green knock him out.
Right.
You know, crotch shot something.
You're looking for the ultimate humiliation
Draymond Green will not turn that down.
All right. Well, I tell you what, speaking of beer, be safe this Memorial Day weekend. For a safe night out, grab a designated driver. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Okay, folks, this is the homestand. This is the season. This is where the Rockies will roll. Pedro Gomez previews this homestand next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
We are joined by ESPN's Pedro Gomez, our fan Rockies insider, brought to you by the Blake Street Tavern. Pedro, maybe I should start here. Why are the Orioles so bad?
This doesn't happen overnight. This is years and years in the making, and just not drafting well, not developing well is the biggest issue. You've got to develop players at the minor league level, and that's fundamentals. It's just fundamentals, and that was not happening for years and years at the level that it needed to, and so you pay the price. I mean, this is a team that lost, I think it was 115 games last year. They certainly look like they're going to lose 100 games this year.
Yeah.
And it's a daunting weekend for a club like this. They don't play in Denver very often. High altitude, you know, they're going to get spooked by just all of those things. It's one of those things where the stars have aligned and the Rockies need to, if not sweep, at least win the series. But it's definitely a series that you look at and say, this should be a sweep.
Pedro, this was a Baltimore team. I think in 14 and 15, they were back-to-back. They were in the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the next year, it almost feels like a Marlins-type thing where they sold everything off and were trying to rebuild, but it wasn't really that case. They're just an awful team immediately.
Well, I mean, bad contracts that they signed. Look no further than at first base. I think that was a $160 million deal, and they're probably halfway through that one. It's a lot of things aligning at one time, like I said, and they just have not developed. And say what you want, you know, look, the Rockies have developed players. They are a homegrown organization for the most part who have had success, at least in recent years. And it really does trail to development. You've got to teach the young players how to develop at the minor league levels, whether it's pitching, defense. I remember seeing a video, I think it was last year, of a the Orioles had called up somebody from AAA and he was getting routine teachings of how to field a ball at first base from if the ball was skipped to him. And these are things that should be done at A ball, at rookie ball, at low A, at short season A. This is not something that should be taking place at the major league level. And those are things that make you pay. And especially in the American League East, where you got to play the Yankees 19 times, the Red Sox 19 times, Tampa Bay 19 times. I mean, you're playing some really good teams, a lot of games. It's hard.
Pedro, how's your son doing, by the way, at Arizona? How's that working out for him?
He's doing really well. He actually is at Salem, Virginia, which is high A. It's advanced A.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I apologize.
No, that's okay. He got drafted in 2017, and he's risen four levels in less than 2 years. He actually just got promoted from Greenville, South Carolina, which is full A in the Sally League, the South Atlantic League, to the Carolina League at Salem, Virginia. He had his first game for Salem last night. It was a little bit rough, but it's only one game there. So he's had a really, really good season to earn that promotion. And like I said, he's at high A right now. And that's one of the other reasons that I know about developing at the minor league level. This is where you learn how to be a big league player. And, you know, I talk to him all the time, and he tells me about how they just drill things over and over and over into them. And that's how that's why the Red Sox are one of the better organizations. That's why a lot of clubs, when you see them bringing up guys from the minors, these are successful players.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I was going about development and the Rockies. I look at the Orioles too, by the way. They're in a unique spot because, well, listen, if they don't draft Adley Rutschman, who's such a unicorn.
They have to.
Don't you think so?
Yes.
Check this out, if you've not heard of him. A switch-hitting, power-hitting, on-base high, average through the roof. I mean, he's one of the best players in America, no doubt about it, right? Pedro, slam dunk number one overall pick, right?
and plays a premium position behind the plate, the catcher.
Right.
I'm very, very familiar with Adley since my son did play in the Pac-12. Very, very familiar. And he is you can never say can't miss, but there are some guys that are can't miss.
Yeah.
And certainly Adley Rutschman looks like he is a can't miss. He is somebody that's going to probably spend less than a year and a half to 2 years in the minor league.
Well, I was just going to go there. With nothing to lose. Could you see a situation is that just crazy talk to go from college to Major League Baseball if you've got nothing to lose?
Well, you do have something to lose, though. You could lose Adley Rutschman, because if he gets up there and all of a sudden he's facing Major League pitching for the very first time and he is getting schooled by Major League pitching, you could lose Adley, and now all of a sudden that's not what you want. But I could see, there's no doubt that he would be fast-tracked and moved through the system quickly as long as he shows the ability, which there's nothing to indicate that he won't. I could absolutely see him a year and a half to 2 years being at the big league club, and from there it's no turning back.
All right, so we should see a smoke show by the Rockies. Are the Rockies, by the way, Pedro, with the draft coming up, are they high on anybody in particular?
You know, they keep that so close to the vest. Every club does. I mean, the Orioles are the number one pick, so they know they're, you know, Adley Rutschman is the consensus. You know, you look at recent years, and pitching is obviously always at a premium. So Jeff Breidich and the crew, if there's a pitcher there that is somebody that they like, I would be shocked if they don't go pitching, because you just can never have enough.
Thank you, Pedro
That's
Gomez.
It's half your roster, don't forget. You know, you got a 25-man roster, 12 of them are pitchers.
Appreciate it, Pedro. Our Rockies, Fan Rockies Insider, brought to you by Blake Street Tavern. Be safe this Memorial Day weekend. For a safe night out, grab a designated driver, Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. Football at 4, the Chris Harris drama is rolling on. And Tommy was doing something I never thought I'd see him do, ever. Hmm. But it was cool. It was really cool.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Details next.